DW.
High above the capital Thimphu, past steep hills riddled with rhododendron, these 12-year-old boys follow a rigorous schedule in their training to become Buddhist monks. After playing a Saturday evening soccer game outside the monastery where they live, they've just had a dinner of rice and curry. Chattering in Dzongka, Bhutan's national language, they sound like they don't have a care in the world. But elsewhere in this peaceful country, depression and suicide are on the rise. Farmers appear to be the most vulnerable, but recent suicide cases include teenagers and the elderly, and many people in their 20s. Figures for last year averaged almost 8 per month, a staggering number for a population under 800,000. Dr. Chenchul Dorji is Bhutan's first trained psychiatrist and one of only 4 in all of Bhutan.
Depression is so difficult to talk about. We don't have a word or a dialect to describe depression in Bhutan. I mean, you can say depression as a normal mood symptom, but it is not a clinical entity.
You're saying there's no word in Dzongka for depression?
No word for clinical depression. There are some mood symptoms that you can describe, but not a clinical entity. So it's a very, very difficult illness to understand.
And it's especially hard to understand in a nation whose official policy of gross national happiness is meant to ensure citizens' well-being in most aspects of life. Education, culture, good governance, development, spirituality, environment, and healthcare, which is free. But the stigma around depression in Bhutan means very few of those suffering have sought treatment.
I would think that we would have at least 20,000 people with depression in Bhutan in the last year. And our records show that although now we have 4 psychiatrists, I think less than 2,000 people actually receive treatment for depression. That's a huge gap.
Of course, no society is immune to mental illness. But changing lifestyles and other social issues play a role in Bhutan's rising rates of depression and suicide as well. A government study listed poverty, failed relationships, drug and alcohol abuse, and rural-to-urban migration as contributing factors. That lines up with observations by Bhutan's first medical anthropology student, who's been sitting in on some of Dr. Chencho's consultations.
A lot of patients did not just visit doctors here, but they also visit traditional healers such as shamans or witch doctors or oracles or things like that.
Tsering Choki is researching the way traditional healing rituals might complement Western-style psychological treatment.
Bhutanese people are very religious, so in a way they'll believe in more like a ritual healing than the healing they'd get here in the hospitals.
The healing effects of traditional methods on mental illness aren't clear, but Choki is convinced more open communication about emotions would make a world of difference.
A lot of people come to Thimphu to look for jobs, and then they kind of get sucked into like drinking and alcohol and drugs, things like that here. Also, people doesn't have a good conversation with their family members, especially young children doesn't talk to their parents openly because they're scared that they might yell and cut down their pocket money or something like that. We are like in between the modernization and trying to follow tradition in Bhutan. The older generation, just to talk to your kid would help him or her so much. We have lost a lot of people, especially me also. I've lost some of my best friends. So it's very hard. I feel like people don't talk about the illness.
You've lost, as in these people you just mentioned have committed suicide?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, that was like one of the motivation I thought I would take medical anthropology and also learn the youth culture, like what's making them so ill and depressed that's making them commit suicide.
One of Tsering Choki's close friends had hinted that he was depressed, but she was unsure how to help him. Bhutanese men are expected to suppress their negative emotions, something Dr. Chencho sees as a gap in understanding a fuller dimension of Buddhism. He says Bhutan was such a poor country for so long that most people were preoccupied with the basics of survival, and this mentality hasn't fully caught up with the country's rapid development.
If you go and meet a person who is ill, everybody will say the same thing. They say you have all the material things in order for you to survive. So eat well and you'll be all right. Just get on with life. So it's got a paradox in Buddhism. Thinking emotionally, having emotional issues, all these are a bit of a luxury for people. And people may not necessarily be very compassionate about somebody who goes on to complain or goes on to think that I'm not happy enough. So that is still a situation here.
Dr. Chencho has adopted the World Health Organization's slogan, "Depression, Let's Talk," to help break the stigma around mental illness in Bhutan. Posters with this message outside his office encourage people to seek treatment rather than suffer in silence. It's a difficult silence to break, but one patient is willing to share her experience.
Let's have some tea first.
Sure, thank you.
My name is Kanduo. I'm at the moment a full-time mother of two. I have a son that's 8 and a daughter, precious little daughter, 2.5. So for the past 3 years, I've been a homemaker, which I've enjoyed very much.
Kanduom studied anthropology abroad and was working in the field of social development, then decided it was best to be a stay-at-home mom. But she realized something was wrong.
When I really thought I needed help was after my first child. I suffered from postpartum depression. I didn't know what was going on. Everybody says, oh, it's your hormones, and you read about your hormones. But it was fairly severe, to the point that I would just cry all alone for no reason.
Were you able to share that with your family?
Yes, but they didn't believe me, you know. It's almost like cry wolf. You know, they thought that it was just a passing phase. But deep down inside, I said, if life is so miserable and so dark, it was a very dark place, and you feel like you can't get out, and you think it's never going to end, you might as well say it's not, there's no point living. And that was very hidden amongst everybody else, like our other friends. Nobody else knew about it. I couldn't talk about it.
Kanduom has made progress with the help of volunteer therapists from overseas. They offer counseling in 3-month stints while Bhutan's future mental health workers complete their training. Only a fraction of people suffering from depression actually end their lives. But suicide is making headlines here now, and it's a major concern for health officials.
We have already identified the gaps. We have an acute shortage of human resources in the country. And if you look at me, so I was put from nowhere and asked to look after the suicide prevention program. To be very frank, I have very little knowledge on suicide prevention.
That candid admission is from Yeshu Wangdi at the Health Ministry. What he does know is very unsettling.
The mode of suicide is basically hanging. And hanging is the highest mode of suicide that people have used.
And I understand people use the kera to do this, the belts that both men and women wear in national dress. Is that right?
That's exactly correct. The hanging is mostly done by the kera because maybe like the kera is easily accessible to them.
Wangdi, who joined the health ministry 30 years ago, recalls a more innocent era in Bhutan when, in his memory, the notion of taking one's own life was unheard of. The introduction of TV and the internet 18 years ago has coincided with rapid development of the country, especially in the capital. Given the rising cases of depression and suicide, the haunting question arises: was Bhutan wrong to end its decades of isolation and open more to the rest of the world?
I'm not saying that Bhutan has gone wrong. I mean, Bhutan has to be developed. We cannot isolate from the world. But after this present government has been instituted, we realize that suicide is a problem among the Bhutanese populations. So this is one area that we are lacking.
Part of the Health Ministry's suicide prevention program, headed by Yeshu Wangdi, includes a suicide hotline staffed by paramedics. It also relies on interventions by local government services throughout the country. Wangdi says religious leaders play an important role too.
We have a Buddhist body everywhere in all the districts. And through the Buddhist preaching, there should be a preservation of the value of human life in all the districts. And the responsibilities of giving the teaching to promote the prevention of suicide has been assigned to them.
Namgye, a Buddhist monk who heads the Pajading Monastery above the capital, has traveled the country and observed how the lure of material wealth can cloud people's spiritual well-being and distract them from Buddhist teachings. He knows something about depression.
I was one of them, depressed and always looking for having some, you know, nice things, and always wondering, wow, I could be the worst among all such people in this time.
You had that experience?
Yes. Even though I'm a monk, we just study, but we never take it into practice. So once we started practicing it, we can feel it. So then we thought, oh, yes, if we walk, we can change the world, definitely.
That sounds like a tall order, but Namgye has seen the benefits of deeper meditation practice and giving counsel to people from every walk of life. He doesn't think Bhutanese have to give up their modern lifestyle. It's attachment to material wealth, he says, that increases emotional stress.
I don't mean that we should not have the modernization things. Of course, we should open our eye in the West, in the world, what is happening, what is coming. And it's okay to have mobile, fancy car, beautiful house, nice clothes, everything. It's okay because if we have this, we can enjoy it. But the problem is when people don't have, they are unhappy. They get angry, which is unnecessary things, unnecessary suffering. Of course, if we have nice things, it's good. We can enjoy it. If we don't have it, just, you know, let it go. It's okay.
As if on cue, the monk's cell phone rings, a reminder that there's no turning back the clock to simpler times, even in a 13th century monastery above 3,000 meters. Of course, ancient rituals still have their place. In this lush valley, far from the car-filled capital, villagers perform an elaborate ceremony, or choko, to seek permission from an earth deity before building a house. At each corner of this plot of land, blessings over the soil and prayers are thought to ensure construction free of misfortune and a peaceful life once the house is built. But back at the National Referral Hospital in Thimphu, Dr. Chenchul Dorji thinks peace is in shorter supply than it used to be. He warns that current social trends, along with a lack of awareness around mental health, mean the situation may worsen before it improves.
The tides are going to turn. Because obviously we have now more drug addiction, alcoholics in the cities, in the rural areas. We have more social issues, relationship breakdowns, a lot of domestic violence. The problems are just increasing day by day.
But the stay-at-home mom who's been dealing with depression is convinced that counseling is fully compatible with Buddhist traditions. She says she's grateful for the culture passed down by her parents. At the same time, she's trying to encourage others to make use of the volunteer therapists from overseas. She says they've saved her life.
I've been doing a lot of meditation practice. And after I had my counseling sessions, I realized that it's all the same thing. It's about being aware of your mind and not get caught up with your external environments. And therapy just complemented that. I was like, wow, you know, everything I've been trying to understand in my Buddhist texts and everything, this lady here has been telling me everything that I should be doing. She's also a guru in a way. And that's what I was thinking. I said, why does it have to be either or? Therapy is not a failure of our Buddhist philosophy or our system. It's actually complementary, and we should have both because this is science and Buddhism embraces science. And I can see so much. I mean, this is most probably what the Buddha did talk about many years ago. We're studying it and realizing the nature of this mind of ours.
So the key is right here. What is the way to reach all of these people who are suffering in silence, do you think, in this country?
It's going to take somebody significant to be able to talk about it. I think somebody prominent in society who has gone through this.
Kandu Om points to Prince Harry of Wales, whose honesty about seeking therapy set a public example of mental health advocacy in Britain. She's hopeful that a prominent figure in Bhutan will step forward to advance a national conversation on mental illness in her country. A move that could help save lives. For DW, this is Alexa Devorsen in Thimphu, Bhutan.
DW